Milarepa went on from this experience, of course, to become a great ascetic and a great meditator and the founder of an important lineage. But you can see from some of these stories, I think, why the model of Milarepa's life has been so touching for Tibetans and has really typified for them the life of a Tibetan sage. Now, there are two other schools that are worth mentioning. We need to say something about to complete our discussion of the four schools of Tibetan Buddhism. One of these is the Sakya school that emerged in the 11th century under the leadership of a lama named Drokmi. Drokmi was the teacher of Khunchok Gyaltsen, who in 1073 founded a monastery at Sakya in a place that gave the school its name. This school played an important role in negotiations between the Tibetans and the Mongols, who burst out of Mongolia in the 13th century and dominated, devastated, you might say, most of Asia. Eventually, interestingly enough, the Mongols converted to Tibetan Buddhism and became important protectors of Tibetan Buddhism, not just in Tibet, but also in other parts of Asia. Now, the 13th century, when the Mongols first appeared, was a crucial century in Tibet for a couple of reasons. First of all, it gave rise to this incipient political alliance between Tibetan monks and Mongol princes. This became an important theme in later Tibetan history. But it also was a time, the first century really, after the death of Indian Buddhism. Indian Buddhism ended around the year 1200. So in this century, the Tibetans really had to come of age as religious people and had to begin to fend for themselves. So you might say that the 13th century really marks, in some respects, the beginning of a truly independent Tibetan religious tradition. Today, the old alliance between the Tibetan lamas and the Mongols really is a difficult thing in Tibetan history because it's translated in the contemporary world into this troubling relationship with the Chinese regime. China has always viewed itself, at least in recent centuries, as being the heirs of the Mongols, and Chinese political leaders visualize Tibet as a part of the larger Chinese empire. Now, the fourth school that I want to mention just briefly before we bring this lecture to an end is the Geluk, or Virtuous Way School, also known quite commonly in the literature as the Yellow Hats. This emerged in the 14th century under the leadership of the scholar Tsongkhapa, a great scholar and one whose works I have often used, especially to try to understand the relationship of Indian philosophical schools. Tsongkhapa followed the example of the Indian scholar Atisha, and he tried to establish a pure form of Indian monastic practice. This involved, in his case, an intense effort to try to codify not only the Tibetan approach to Buddhist philosophy, but to the stages of tantric practice. So Tsongkhapa is one of the great systematizers, really, of the Tibetan tradition. He wrote a great corpus of writings, not just on what's known as the Sutra tradition, the tradition of Mahayana philosophy, but also the tradition of Tantra. Tsongkhapa founded several major monasteries in central Tibet, two right near Lhasa and one a short distance away from Lhasa that was his home monastery, a monastery called Ganden, a name that means simply the pleasurable, like the name for the heaven where the Bodhisattva Maitreya resides. These have been some of the most influential religious institutions in the history of Tibet and have been actively restored in recent years. When I was in Lhasa just a couple of years ago, I had a chance to visit some of these monasteries and to understand, to appreciate the reverence that Tibetan people have had historically for Tsongkhapa. In fact, at Ganden, one of the most intriguing things to do when you visit the monastery is to do a circumambulation route around the monastery. It's not an easy place to get to. It's quite far up a long mountain road, but pilgrims come from all over Tibet to walk in the footsteps of Tsongkhapa around this monastery and try to discern his presence in fingerprints and footprints in the rock. So Tsongkhapa, the founder of this lineage, is revered not just by scholars and monks, but also by common people as a great saint. After the death of Tsongkhapa, the leadership of the Gelug school passed to the lineage of the Dalai Lamas. And the Dalai Lamas will be the topic of our next lecture.